Hello, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. This is my home. Welcome to my home. This is my study, or as some would put it, my man cave, where I do smoke my cigars. My beloved wife is totally okay with it. Sits in this place hours a day with me while I work, and we talk. And I smoke my cigar. She hates cigarettes. Never confuse cigarettes and cigars. All right, I had to throw that in. Anyway, this is just a chance to talk about whatever comes to my mind, and it's completely unscripted, completely. And then I take some questions from you folks, and hopefully you will benefit from it. Otherwise, it's not worth doing. The trick is to make things fun, interesting, and important. They need to be all those things to communicate effectively. Maybe I should, you know what, I'll talk about that. Well, the importance of being interesting. It's people don't realize how important that is. I'll just give one a good example. I remember realizing this, I think it was college, not high school, when I realized an interesting teacher could make the most irrelevant subject interesting, and a boring teacher could make the most dynamic subject boring. It was the teacher, not the subject, that made the class interesting. It was a great lesson for me because, obviously, I communicate for a living. Okay, everybody, I got some opening thoughts, then I'm going to take your questions. So here goes. How important is it to you to be good, to be a good person? Think about it. And my suspicion is that for most people, it's not up there on the list of really important things to aspire to be. Here's a very interesting test I've done with parents. I did this on radio in my very first years. I would ask parents, I would say this to parents, I want you to ask your child if your child is 5 or your child is 50. I don't care. I want you to ask your child, what is it you think I, your mother, or I, your father, most want you to be? Not what do you most want to be, again, because you get a more honest answer here. What do you think I, your parent? This was a great way for parents to figure out what they're communicating to their child. So I would give 4 choices. Ask your child one more time, what do you think it is I, your dad, or I, your mom, most want you or wanted you to be? Smart, successful, happy, good. Smart, successful, happy, good. What is it you think I most want you to be? And very few parents get the answer good. So that should be instructive. It means that you have not communicated that's the most important thing you want your child to be. And the truth is, I don't think most parents most want their child to be good. They might say it to me or to somebody who asked them, but I think that most parents want their children to be either successful or happy as number one. And by the way, I want my who doesn't want their children successful, happy, smart, and good? Obviously, everybody wants all of them. I'm asking, where is your priority? I don't think most parents place good as their priority. No, forget it. I don't think. I am certain most parents don't. When I told a friend, I remember this years ago. This was a friend. This is someone who knew me pretty well. I said, you know, I tell my boys, I have 2 boys, I don't care what college you go to. I care about your character. I care about your decency and your goodness far more than I care about your grades. In fact, one of my sons is a little annoyed with me that I didn't push him on grades more. But it's okay. I would do it all again. I don't think they're important. I don't think people are raised to believe that the most important thing that they should be is good. But here's the killer. Everybody wants everybody else to have being good as the most important thing in their life. If you would ask anybody, what do you most want from other people? That they be happy, successful, smart, or good? They'll all say good. So everybody wants everybody else on earth, all other 7 billion people, to most want to be good. But they themselves, that's not their number one priority. Now you know why the world is screwed up. That's in a nutshell, that's a big part of the reason. Because if people don't aim to be something, they won't be it. Now, I could speak, and I have, on the whole this issue for an hour about why isn't goodness number one, and so on. But that the thing that I want to bring to your attention is that it may not be a big priority in your life. How much time have you given to character development versus grades? Think of how much time, you know, if you're a student, a young person, or even an older person, how much time did you devote to studying for tests and doing papers? Did you do papers on goodness? I mean, it's like a non-issue. When people are asked, they say, oh, yeah, I want to be good. But the truth is, they have to be asked it for this to come out. It's just not that important. It's also difficult to be good. People think, because we live with this idiot idea that people are basically good. So if you already are something, you don't have to work on it, right? Hey, if you're basically good. But it's ridiculous. I probably have talked about it on the Fireside Chat. I should probably do it again. It's so important. So I'm not going to get into the issue of human nature. But human nature is deeply flawed. There's goodness in human nature, just like there's gold in mines. But you know what? You have to mine for gold. It's very hard to extract gold. It's very hard to extract goodness. So, that's the issue. Do you want to be a good person? My recently published book, the big culmination, or part one of 5 volumes of my commentary on the first 5 books of the Bible, is really about that. My basic belief about God is that God wants us to be good. And I don't think a lot of religious people teach that as the first thing. What is the first thing God wants from you? Well, that's the first thing. That's the greatness of the Bible. That's what it teaches. God wants you to be good. I believe that. You should want you to be good. Your parents should want you to be good. And God wants you to be good. It's not easy. It's hard to know exactly what it means to be good, and it's hard to do it even when you know it, because it involves fighting your nature. Because our nature is very self-centered. It's not other-centered. It's self-centered. And by the way, you have to take care of yourself. Big believer in that. That's the American ideal. First you take care of yourself, then you take care of your family, then you take care of your community. Versus the socialist ideal, the government takes care of you, the government takes care of your family, the government takes care of your community. Which do you think is going to produce a better human being? That was my speech at the University of Wyoming. It's on the internet. Take a look. That socialism makes you selfish. So, it's something to think about. Do you really want to be a good person? And what does it involve? If this matters to you, you would benefit tremendously with my book, The Rational Bible, because I explain that in great depth there. So, got to ask yourself, do you really want to be good? It sounds corny, doesn't it? How many parents brag about their kids' goodness versus the number of parents who brag about their kids' brilliance? You know how many parents have told me their kids are brilliant? Or their grandkids are brilliant? Brilliant is a dime a dozen. We could do with it. The society will not rise or fall on the number of brilliant people in it. It will rise and fall depending on the number of good people in it. Brilliant schmilliant. That's my view of brilliant. Okie doke. Ready for questions, folks? From you, my friends. All right, Michael, 18 years of age. There we go. 18 in Boston. Last week, I broke a friend's trust. She lives long distance and hasn't been responding to any of my messages lately. I'm truly sorry for what I did. What is the best way to earn someone's trust? Thank you. Those are two separate questions. How do you earn someone's trust back? And what should you do here? I don't know what you did. I don't know anything except the question. But I want to tell you something. Every friend in the history of friends has at some point hurt their friend. It is not possible to go through life and never hurt somebody in your life. It is not possible. So if, as someone who has very close friends and who has had very close friends my whole life, I can really speak from experience. Whenever it has happened that a friend has disappointed me, I have overlooked it. Because I was their friend because I knew what a decent person they were and how much they cared for me. So they'll do something that I wish they didn't do. I'm sure I have done things that friends wished I didn't do. I remember my close friend from high school who's still my friend. He realized I didn't answer phone calls quite as readily as he would have wanted. And he simply made peace with that fact. And we're still unbelievably close. So I know I disappointed him in the, you know, I'm not a telephone fan. He's a telephone fan. I'm not. And it's as simple as that. And now we, you know, it's like a non-issue now. I eventually call back, but I often didn't do it immediately as he would have liked. And I'm sure I've disappointed friends in other ways. I don't know other examples to give you right now, but I'm sure if I ask them, I could get an example or two. And I've been disappointed. So your friend, if you broke your friend's trust and now your friend wants you out of her life, then either what you did is so egregious or she didn't really think that highly of you to begin with, and this was like the last straw. She wasn't that impressed with you to begin with, and now you've just affirmed her suspicions. But if she thought you were a good person, like a good friend, and you did this one thing and she's read you out of her life, if I could talk to your friend, I would ask, why are you reading her out of your life? You think no one is ever going to disappoint you? So I don't know what you could do to earn her trust. And I think you should just say, look, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. And by the way, apologies have to always be specific. You have to apologize for a specific thing. You can't just say, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. That means nothing. I know I hurt you by doing X or Y or Z, and I apologize for X or Y or Z. Then it works. And if it doesn't work, then this person doesn't want you in her life. I'm sorry, and you just move on. But you can't, what are you going to do, show up at her door in tears? I don't know what else to say. It depends how your friend regards you or the maturity of your friend in understanding that disappointment periodically, not regularly, is part of friendship. Listen, I did a show on my radio show. I do an hour a week. Wednesday's the second hour of my show every week. It's called the Male-Female Hour. Just a couple of weeks ago, I did the subject of should infidelity, I mean, if someone has an affair, someone cheats on you sexually, should that automatically mean divorce? And I am adamant that it shouldn't. And I know many couples and many people called in, who said that they worked through it and their marriage became stronger than ever afterwards. I'm not advocating adultery, just for the those who are watching and are not listening carefully. I'm merely stating that I'm giving you an extreme example of breaking someone's trust. And I don't even think that should necessarily automatically, that should not automatically lead to the end of the friendship known as marriage. Sometimes, you know, there are certain things. If somebody, you know, there are a few things, or very few things, that I think should automatically. I think if somebody beats you, hits you, it's a bad sign. And if it happens once and never again, okay, but it's, I'm not sanguine about the chances of a relationship surviving hitting. But anyway, I don't think that that's the issue here. And it's not a marriage, it's your friend. But anyway, I have said what I have to say on that. And your friend, if you're, I don't know what you did, but if you're truly contrite and the contrition is not accepted, you just have to move on. David 17, Houston, do you think NASA should continue with the space program, or should the U.S. turn to private companies like SpaceX for any missions pertaining to space? I don't have an answer. I think both are good. I don't buy the argument, we have so many needs on Earth, let's not spend going to space. That if one has that attitude, one will never go into space, because there will always be needs on Earth. But the human being wants to explore. There's something nice and virtuous and good about that. But I'm a big believer in private enterprise. There are people with so much money now, unprecedented amounts of money, they could certainly fund such a program. Grant, 19, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Do you think what Kanye West has been saying on Twitter is helping or hurting the conservative movement? Well, I don't know exactly. I know what you're referring to with regard to Candace. What's Candace's last name again? Owens, yeah, she's done a PragerU video. She's terrific. His defense of Candace and his gutsy comments, I don't know why it would hurt the conservative movement. So do you know anything that might be referred to that would hurt the conservative movement? I'm looking at some of the PragerU folks here.
Sometimes people say whatever is said is because he's a rapper and he's not associated as pinnacle of intelligence.
Oh, because he's a rapper. So what? I don't know. This is why, if you ask a question, the best is to be as specific as possible. Kanye West said X. Does that hurt the conservative movement? I think something is happening. Might be happening. I never like to overstate. Something might be happening, which, if it's true, is momentous. More and more blacks may start to realize that the left is not their friend, that conservatives are their friends. That will be a sea change in America for the better. That would give me as much optimism for America as almost anything else. See, the Democratic Party knows that every black who sees America in a positive way and doesn't believe it's a racist society is probably going to leave the Democratic Party. So the left and its party, the Democratic Party, it used to be a liberal party, now it's a left-wing party, they foster hatred of whites, suspicion of whites among blacks, in order to portray themselves as the only friend that black people have, even though they've done nothing good for America's blacks. And therefore, they have to keep pushing whites are racist, whites are racist, whites are racist, whites are racist. You need us. You need us. You need the government. You need the Democrats. You need the government. You need the Democrats. But gradually, a lot of blacks are realizing, wait a minute, that's just not true. So this might be the tip of an iceberg. Last question is from Ali, 32 Grand Junction, Colorado. I was in Grand Junction. Love it. Dennis, I was curious what your thoughts are on men dating younger women at least 10 years or more, as well as women dating younger men. What are the pros and cons? I mean, younger women, at least 10 years or more younger, right? Not dating for a period of 10 years, right? I used to have stronger thoughts on this. To be honest, my wife is 15 years younger than I am. And I have a beautiful and wonderful marriage, and I'm divorced, and I was married to a woman who was a year older than me. I don't choose by age, in either direction. It's, do you bond? So I don't see that as a problem. If that's your biggest problem, you have a very good relationship. That would be my immediate answer. The only time it would matter, maybe, is like, 28 and 18, if that's 10 years. But, 48 and 38, I don't think anybody even thinks about it for a second. But, at that age, I think it's, if I had an 18-year-old daughter and a 28-year-old guy were dating her, if I thought he was a great guy, I'd be okay with it. All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. I'm Dennis Prager. Give thought to getting the Rational Bible. I promise it will change your life. Even if you're just curious, why was this book so important? I think it'll touch you. Until next week, be well.